parents for eternal life. Father returns to the popular question-answer format for this Truth Crusade teleconference. God and His laws are completely omitted from public school education. Many parochial schools and CCD programs lack doctrinal and moral content. Failure of the public and parochial schools have compelled parents to accept their God-given right and responsibility to educate their children. We predict this digitally audio tape talk will prove to be very popular. Father Hardin.
We might begin by asking ourselves, what do we mean when we say that parents are the primary educators of their children? In plain English, we can mean just about everything. We can mean that parents begin to teach their children from the moment these children are conceived, during pregnancy, and when they are born. We mean that parents teach their children during their children's years of infancy and childhood. We further mean that parents are the first and most important, indeed indispensable, teachers of their children. We also mean that unless the children are taught by their parents, know the qualifying phrase, unless they are taught by their parents, the children will be getting only a substitute, and I mean a substitute education. All of this we mean. But there is more. When we say that parents are the primary educators, what kind of primacy are we talking about? Do we mean how the children can be taught how to walk and how to talk? That's pretty primary. They are taught how to read and write. Surely, a basic primacy. Taught how to eat and drink and take care of both themselves and their belongings. They can and should be taught arithmetic, spelling, history, and geography. But that is not the primary focus of the meaning of primary in our title. All of this is introductory to questions that we'll be having. I'll do my best in answering. All that we've just said can and should be taught. But what the children mainly need to know, and know not just to their minds, but know in such a way as to move their wills, as to why God made them, why they are on earth at all, why they are in this world, that they are here in this life in order to prepare themselves and train themselves. Others can help, but the children having their minds and free wills, are to prepare and train themselves for the world that is to come. How this needs to be said, 40 years in the priesthood, underline the consummate importance of saying our primary purpose of education is to prepare for eternal life. In other words, parents are either training their children for heaven, or their children are not being educated. With that as an opening introduction, could I ask some contribution, question-wise or otherwise?
Yes, Father Hardin, I have a question. Is it really necessary for parents to teach the faith to their children? Isn't it enough that when they're old enough, you send them to a Catholic school or you send them to CCD?
That's a very good question. In other words, how important are the parents? With so many educational opportunities, agencies, why concentrate on the parents? Well, I would give 3 reasons. First and most importantly, the primary channels of grace for the children are their parents. In other words, depending on how much and how well the children are educated in their purpose for existence by their parents, to that extent will then the children receive the grace from God, for which, I repeat, the parents are the channels. First reason why there is such a stress on parents. Secondly, the parents are with the children. Pardon me. The parents should be with the children from before they are born. The mother carrying the child for 9 months, they are with the children more than anyone. But finally, there is a kinship of spirit, even on the natural level, and grace builds on nature, which then makes the parents the primary educators. How well I know, it is one thing to teach something, it is something else for the one being taught to learn. Children can best learn from the parents with whom they have before God the closest bond with anyone under God.
Father Hardin, if a parent does not feel qualified to homeschool, what advice would you give them to encourage them?
Well, I think the important question here is, if a parent does not feel qualified to homeschool, now, first I would tell the parents to examine their consciences and find out whether their feeling unqualified is justified. And by the way, I don't know what kind of questions will be asked. One thing I must say, no matter what meaning you put on the word homeschooling, homeschooling is as old as the human race. There must be homeschooling. The measure and degree of that homeschooling will depend on many factors. And I would say, The question asks, what advice would you give? Pardon me. I wouldn't give them advice or counsel. What would you tell them to do? I would tell them, first of all, look more closely into what you think is a lack of qualification. But secondly, get qualified. And let me be clear. And don't go to some, pardon me, certified agency of the government to get your qualification. We need parents with experience to train other parents to qualify them as teachers of their own offspring.
Father, I was wondering how dangerous the schools are today for our children.
I've been a priest 47 years. And I have to say, it is not until fairly recent years that a question like this would have seriously come to the surface. Can schools be dangerous to our children? Yes. Are some schools dangerous to our children? Yes. Next question, how dangerous? I would distinguish three levels of danger. First, dangerous in providing, if I can use the word providing, a substitute for the truth. So much of what is being taught in schools these days is simply not the full truth and nothing but the truth. I am thinking about, say, basic historical data. I'm talking about biography. I'm talking about certain facts. So, one, the danger of not learning the truth, even about the basics of human knowledge. Secondly, the danger of being taught things which are contrary, and I really mean it, contrary to our Catholic faith. Once our public school system in the United States has become really an agent of the political power, we know in general, I can assure you, with years of experience, it is not only that in public schools, prayer is forbidden. It is even that talking about the basics of the most fundamental principles of both religion and morality, touching on God, are not taught, with the consequence that not a small amount of the education is, and I mean it, agnostic or atheistic. One more danger. During the heyday of communism in Russia, I had the privilege of assisting in the publication of a manual published in Moscow on how teachers should deal with their children in school. And as I see what's going on in our country, we are doing exactly that. Every vestige of God, of eternal values, of the things of the Spirit, is being wiped out. And sadly, so many otherwise nominally religious institutions are following suit. I could say much more, but there are more questions.
Father, this question here has been a concern of mine. Are there any biblical references as to the primacy of parents in educating their children?
Well, I would say the basic biblical references are found in St. Paul, in his two letters to the Corinthians and his letter to the Ephesians, in which St. Paul spells out the responsibilities, the dignity of marriage, of the duty of husband and wife to each other, of the duty of parents toward their children, and the corresponding responsibility of children toward their parents. But I would say that Christ's own teaching in insisting, as we know, now that children be brought to him, and then warning in the strongest language at his command about the terrible injustice, the crime of scandalizing these little ones. Christ, remember, especially in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, in expanding on the sower who sowed his seed, and remember, seed fell in different kinds of ground, or the last seed produced any fruit, but it's that first fruitless soil that is critical to answer this question. Remember, the seed falling on the wayside produced no yield. Why? Because the birds of the air came along and stole the seed. Well, took it off the ground. Then Jesus explains what he means. I sure hope I will be clear. The single most important divinely ordained responsibility of parents toward their children is not just, that's a mild statement, to teach their children to memorize, say, certain things they should believe. Their single greatest duty, spelled out by Christ, is that the children understand what they believe. By the age of 5, the basic understanding of the human mind has already been established. Do you hear me? By the age of 5, the basic understanding of the human mind has already been established. Either the parents provide their children with that basic understanding of the truths of the faith, or the children can grow up externally pious, but no depth. In fact, one of my favorite definitions of Catholic education, which begins at home. Catholic education is deepening one's understanding of the Catholic faith. One of my favorite definitions of Catholic education. Having seen such catastrophes in later life of those who had never really received that grounding which they should have got already at their mother's knees, I could go on. Another question.
Father Hardin, I was wondering what kind of special graces are parents in need of to train their children in the faith?
Now, first of all, the graces which they need pertain especially to them, to the parents, as parents. And I would say they grow mainly from the infused virtue of charity. What are some of the special graces, plural, which the parents need? The fundamental grace is the infused virtue of charity. The graces, now actual graces, which the parents are to be channels in communicating to their children. I would say especially three. First, to teach the children from their tenderest years the primacy of the spiritual in their lives. Secondly, to teach the children to love prayer, to love to pray. And thirdly, to train and teach the children to love Jesus in union with Jesus crucified. Of course, and over the years, in teaching so many teachers, I've told them, you never communicate in a supernatural order what you yourself do not possess. In other words, the parents must look into their own souls. Do I have these virtues myself? If I don't, get them. How do I get them? Get them. How do I get them? Get them. Pray, work. You'll never pass on even the natural and emphatically the supernatural order what you yourself do not possess.
Father Hardin, how can parents be sure that they are teaching the faith correctly? That is, the authentic Catholic faith. Maybe they weren't taught the authentic faith themselves.
Well, this question needs to be asked today. Well, there is so much what I call pseudo-Catholicism. First of all, the parents must want to teach the true faith. I'm afraid many Catholics nowadays are so confused they hardly even realize that there is blatant error prevalent in, I would say, just about every area of doctrine and Christian morality. To answer the how can, we could spend not just the next hour, but the next week. One simple basic rule is the teaching which the parents are to communicate to their children is that teaching, the teaching of the Bishop of Rome, the Vicar of Christ. If it is, the parents are safe. The young curie of ours, remember his name. When he was a youngster in France, after the French Revolution, and growing up, he was not intellectually brilliant, but he was very perceptive and, well, a good boy. He was getting all kinds of ideas from the class he attended, homilies he heard, friends he talked to. So he asked his parents, "How can I know who is right?" And his parents told him, "Jean, if what you are told agrees with what the Holy Father teaches, it's straight. Another way is the one who teaches a particular whatever doctrine that you hear or read. Is that person well disposed to the Bishop of Rome?" If that was true at the beginning of the 19th century, believe me, it is thunderously important as we close the 20th century.